Thank you, Veronica. This is John Williams. So this is your shift too, right, Veronica?
Yep.
You normally do news on Saturdays at 10 a.m.?
Exactly. I start with Lou, and if I survive that 4 hours, then or 3 hours.
You got to get an applause sign.
I do.
Didn't know. I always hear Lou on remotes, and I see him in studio, but I don't go on remotes with him. I didn't know he had an applause sign.
You know, they would probably just clap for Lou regardless, because
he's
a fun guy.
Well, that's why I didn't believe it. I said, Lou, you don't need an applause sign. You don't have an applause sign. I really think now that he does. So I'm going to carry one around, and I feel like I kind of need it today because I know you, so many of you are so used to hearing Kathy and Judy in this slot. They will not be on from 10 to noon on Saturdays anymore. I will be doing this shift. I had been doing 1 to 3 in the afternoons, and as the station has sort of rejiggered weekends, they've taken me off my afternoon shift and put me a little earlier with Lou Manfred. After Lou's show, I will be 1 to 3 in the afternoons, starting in the middle of March on the 13th, you'll be able to hear me from 1 to 3. Bill and Wendy will do their show before noon, so they still have their gig, but they don't have the split shift, and I'll take the other half of that. I'm really looking forward to that. But I called Kathy this morning, just about 45 minutes ago, and she picked it up, and she said, "Hello?" And I said, "Kathy, this is John. I'm really thinking about you this morning." And she said, "I'm really thinking about me too." And I said, "Well, I love you, and I know a lot of people are going to miss you, and I just wanted you to know that I've been thinking about you." I says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm on my way to a movie." That's a good distraction. You would imagine that Kathy and Judy miss this shift a little bit, and I think Kathy particularly so. I've spoken to both of them on and off the air lately, but I mean I've reached out to both of them, and actually they both reached out to me immediately after it was announced that they wouldn't be doing their shift and that I would be. They called me right away, which is just so stand-up of them and so kind and considerate of them. They've always been great friends and supporters, And I feel that Kathy probably will miss it more than Judy, although I don't mean to say that Judy won't much. But Kathy still has a lot to say. You should follow her on Facebook, if nothing else, because she's talking about everything from her grandkids to politics. In fact, much more so than on this shift. In fact, I asked Kathy, I said, "Kathy, do you have any topics for me?" Because, of course, the joy, the beauty of Kathy and Judy was how they could take the most mundane or interesting topics and get such interesting calls from our listeners. I mean, it was just amazing to me. And she says, "Well, just no politics, John. The girlfriends don't like politics on the weekend." And I thought, oh, crap, because I talk a lot about politics these days. I don't consider myself a political creature. I'm not. But the whole world has found itself immersed in this stuff lately. A friend of mine said to me the other day, "I can't stop reading the New York Times." And she wasn't happy about it, but she just felt like she needs to keep up with everything that's happening. It's all happening so fast. And I want to respect that. You know, here's what we're going to do for the show. I think in general, it'll be very much like the show that we do or have been doing from 1 to 3 in the afternoon here. And that was, we'll start out with an open phone segment, an opportunity for you to call in, a la Kathy and Judy. I love those kinds of segments, too. At 10:30, we will do what we had been doing in the second half hour of my Saturday show, and that's the Mincing Rascals podcast, which is one of the most downloaded podcasts on the WGN radio platform. In fact, I think it might be number one, and I only say that to tell you that it's political, but I think you'll enjoy it because it features Eric Zorn, the Chicago Tribune columnist, Christian McQuarrie, who's one of the editorial writers and columnists over there. Scott Stantis joins us sometimes, too, the cartoonist. And then our own Steve Bertrand. And we kick around everything from should there be a Barack Obama holiday to what do you make of the latest events in Washington this week. So the Mincing Rascals will come your way today at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, that's normally when we do one of our feature interviews. While I won't this week, that's normally when you'll hear one of our interviews. Today I am going to play for you some of the audio from Saturday Night Live lately and ask you the $64 question. Tonight, do you want to see Rosie O'Donnell as Steve Bannon? The correct answer is no, but we'll let you sound off on that. And then at 11:30, it's our Vibe Score segment. That's an app that my cousin Tom and I developed, and what we do is feed you news that you say you're interested in. We ask you a scorable question afterwards. So, for instance, paid holiday in Illinois, Barack Obama's birthday. Do you like that idea or not? 1 to 100. If you said 100, that would mean yes, absolutely. If you said 0, that would be no, absolutely not. Sometimes your answers are shaded in between. So we get the vibe score for different questions like that. And we're all over the map on the vibe score segment. I think you'll like that if you haven't heard it. And then, because Lou Manfredini would be mad at me if I didn't, we will bring back The Bright Side at 11:45. Your chance to call in, tell us some good news in your world, tell us why you're smiling, and we will smile with you. If you've never heard The Bright Side, I know it sounds corny. It is, but I'm telling you, it works. You will enjoy The Bright Side at 11:45. Back to Kathy and Judy for just one more second here. So Kathy says no politics, and I get that because it's so stressful. A friend of mine, I asked yesterday, I said, what are you doing this weekend? She says, I'm doing one of those salt baths. I said, what do you mean? She said, you get in this salt tub, and it's salty, so it's you're more buoyant, and you float in there, and I'm going to be in this thing for like an hour, and I'm just going to relax. And it made me wonder, what are you doing these days because of the sort of angst that everybody has? Are you going out of your way to proactively doing something to either take you away from the stress of the world, or are you doing something to keep your mind off of politics or whatever else it is that's going on out there? I get the sense that people are, and I'm just wondering what that is for you. Another friend of mine said, this year I'm baking bread. I don't know that she started baking bread yet, but that sure was on her agenda. I've been jogging more now than ever. I run about 40 miles a day. I'm down to 117 pounds. Another friend of mine, I'm telling you, I was just thinking about this, and it's not hard to hear from people who are saying things they're deliberately doing. She's doing minute meditations, and she's got, I don't know exactly how it works. I think it's an app. She listens to some music, some sort of soothing voice, and for just a minute or so, she takes this little mental pill, and I guess it helps her. Mary Schmeek wrote a column a couple of Sundays ago in the Tribune. You probably saw it. And it was 9 things to do, and one of them was a CD that she recommended, some music from one of the artists from the Old Town School of Music, and it was terrific. I downloaded that, and I would recommend that you do too. I'll have to get the name exactly of that CD for you. But I read this week that 1/5 of us have stopped communicating with a friend or loved one. 1/5 of us have stopped communicating with a friend or loved one because of the presidential politics in the country today. And just people are too stressful. And they say, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to talk to you. We're not now. A friend of mine said that she is now only going to go on Facebook, which has become sort of this political wheel when she's standing. So that'll limit her a little bit because she's not going to stand all day. And if at least she's going through that exercise of getting all ramped up about politics, then she'll at least be standing. And maybe there's some good in that, because there sure doesn't seem to be much good in getting all upset about what you're reading out there. I'm kind of curious. Are you doing something? My number is 312-981-7200. Griffin, Veronica, I'll ask you the same question in a minute. But are you doing something specifically? And by the way, drinking can be an answer. Are you doing something, or sleeping in? Is it harder to get out of bed, or do you just say, I'm just going to stay here under the covers for a while? Are you doing something specifically to just make your day a little easier these days? I'd be interested to hear what that is. You can text it to 312-981-7200, or give us a call, 312-981-7200. I'm John Williams, and this is WGN. Okay, let's pick up a couple of phone lines. I think Bonnie's going to go first, or is it Keith? Who's going to go first here, guys? Keith, you go first. You're on WGN. Hi. I don't hear Keith. Do you guys hear Keith?
Hello.
Hi, Keith. You're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi. Well, I wanted to talk about what I'm doing to get away from all this craziness in the country.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I've wanted to conduct a symphony orchestra. In fact, it's on my wish list. And I decided to Google and see if there are any classes or opportunities to do something like that. And there are these master classes all over the world, and I found one in Berlin, Germany. And my daughter lives in Berlin, so this is convenient, that will accept you if you apply and explain your background in music, what you've done with conducting. So I applied on a whim. I didn't think I was going to get accepted because, you know, I'm in my 60s. A lot of young people do this, you know, while they're in music school. I'm not in music school. So I was accepted. And I was accepted. I'm going to be participating in this master class. And at the end, I will be conducting the Berlin Sinfonietta Orchestra in one of the greatest romantic symphonies ever written.
Wow. This is amazing. Well, I presume you do have a music background. You've conducted a little bit before.
Yes, I have. A little bit. Not much.
You know, the funny thing is, I think that's really interesting. And I got to conduct once an orchestra. It was the Peoria Symphony Orchestra, which is actually a fine orchestra in central Illinois, obviously. And I was on the radio there, and they let me guest conduct. That was really fun. And and I don't know anything, but I knew the song, you know, whatever it was, the Star Spangled Banner or some familiar tune. So I knew how it went, so I could keep time with my hand. And I thought, this conducting thing is pretty easy. What's the skill or the craft of it, Keith? Well, what do I need to know?
Well, you need to know the orchestral repertoire, I think, pretty good, first of all. And, you know, listen to several recordings of different conductors interpreting a certain piece, like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, for example. And if you can read music, get a score, a music score, and follow along.
Yeah.
Try to follow along the melody as best as you can.
But if it's if it's a familiar tune, like, you know, Happy Birthday or the Star Spangled Banner, although now that you mention it, when I was doing it, I would go a little slower, and the orchestra went, wah. So they were following me. But I guess you could interpret it a little bit if you wanted a quicker pace here or there, that sort of thing, huh?
Exactly.
Wow. Wow. Hey, Keith, well, congratulations. Good luck to you. I'm sorry it took this to motivate you to do that, but there you go. Have a great time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
And thought about that when I said, well, what are you doing to escape the anxiety? I'm just jogging. He's going to Germany to learn how to be a conductor. Bonnie, what are you doing? What's your coping mechanism right now?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for putting me on after Keith.
I know.
The rest of the symphony, John.
A lot of us are just drinking now, so.
I'll tell you why. As I told Griffin that I gave up TV. This was a conscious decision a year ago. Before you blocked me out completely with, oh, she decided she didn't want to hear anything on TV or the news, I turned to WGN, and I swear to God, this is like a study with me that I wanted to see if I could improve my listening skills. And it was just so much easier to turn off the radio if I got sick of it, of the election news and everything. And by the way, I am a fan of yours. I have listened to your show on Saturdays often.
Thank you. Called in
a few times.
Oh, good.
So, and brave man that you are for filling in.
Oh, boy. Well, when
I talked
to the boss here, and he said, well, you want to come on next week? And I said, nobody wants to follow Johnny Carson. No, I don't want to come on the weekend after. But I thought, well, if this is going to be my shift, I'm going to put on my big boy pants and own it. I'm missing Bonnie.
You.
I'm going to let you go. But thank you for the call, and thank you for listening to GN.
Oh, yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Let's go to, is it Mary? Hey, Mary, what are you doing to cope these days?
I pray for the president. I pray for him to get wisdom from God to make right decisions. And also, I just wanted to say that I'm very disappointed that WGN is doing what they're doing. As far as the little rascals, or what do you call them, mincing rascals, I find that you don't have any conservatives. It's all a liberal panel. So I can see where WGN's headed, and I'm going to, unfortunately, switch back to WLS. And I'm sorry, but I really think they're making a big mistake with taking Kathy and Judy off. They had good ratings. I don't understand what they're doing.
Maybe you could pray for us, too. you're not alone in missing Kathy and Judy, Mary. Thank you for the call. And I can't fix it or help it. And I only think if you give us a chance, you'll find that this is a WGN-worthy show, too. We do have a conservative on the panel. It's always either Kristen McQuarrie or Scott Stantis. But, yeah, the thing shades left. And it also, I think, shades true. You'll see when you hear it. It's coming up after the news. In fact, Veronica is going to do that here in a couple of seconds. Veronica, do you use any special coping mechanisms or techniques these days?
I bake for therapy.
Do you really?
Yeah, because you can't garden enough, you know, in the Midwest. So,
right.
I garden for therapy. I bake. I go for walks. I just I have to decompress sometimes and not think about everything.
Especially in your job, because you do have to, you know, at least for 8 hours, you can't escape it, right?
Right. And, you know, as a news person, you're supposed to be aware all the time of what's going on. So you're constantly getting, you know, email alerts to your phone about news breaking stories. And so you just can't ever escape it.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's kind of the way I feel, too. It's like when I get up in the morning, even on weekends, although I give myself a little bit of a break here and there. But, you know, you're always checking Twitter. You're always checking stuff. And then you think, gosh, why am I doing this to myself? This can't be healthy. You know, I'm sorry that you and I aren't in the same room, because if you're baking, you could bring, do you bring stuff in, Veronica?
I do. I'm always assured of a job wherever I go.
Really? I know. They go, well, let's not let her go, because she really bakes the best brownies we've ever had.
Today it's pumpkin cranberry scones.
Are you kidding
me?
Yep. How many of them did you bring in?
Like a dozen or something.
Holy cow. There's not even 12 people in the building.
I know,
right,
but
now.
Trust me, the weekend crew knows that I bring food, so they just plan on that.
You are now my favorite newscaster, Veronica.
Whatever it takes, John.
Okay, so we'll pause here for a second. Veronica's going to do the news. After the news, the Little Rascals, we call it the Mincing Rascals. It's a weekly podcast that we record Thursdays at WGN, and then we broadcast part of that podcast. So you'll get a chance to hear it, maybe for the first time. Hopefully not, but give it a chance. That'll be at 10:30. I'm asking you about Saturday Night Live. Time Magazine has a very interesting piece today. It says, Saturday Night Live has never been more important. And everybody's wondering if Rosie O'Donnell's going to come on as Steve Bannon tonight. And I'll just say it again. I sure hope not. Saturday Night Live's job is to be funny. It's not to be any more political than it has to be. It's not supposed to be mean, and it's not supposed to settle the score between Rosie and Donald. I say don't go there, but you and I will talk about that a little later on. And then the Vibe Score and Bright Side will fill out our second hour. The news is next on WGN. I know this is heresy, but if we had a 10-inch snow soon, I would not hate that.
Why?
I don't know. It's like February. This is its job. It's supposed to be, you know, I mean, don't you love a great big weekend snow?
No? Not at all.
What are you talking about?
I do.
Do you think the weather's ever going to be normal again? Because
I don't think so. Well, that's the funny thing. It's like, okay, this is great. But in the back of my head, there's this, you know, on my other shoulder, there's that other angel going, there's a reason for this, and it's not good, guys. So I'm trying not to enjoy it too much. We're supposed to have snow right now. And if it's doing this, there must be a reason. I don't even know what it is. I don't know that it's climate change, but it just seems to me to be a little too weird.
Well, when you talk to people across the country, everybody is saying the same thing, that this is just weird weather.
Oh, yeah. In Minnesota, I mean, they should be covered in snow. The Twin Cities, you can see the lawns. It's brown in a lot of places. The streams are flowing. Somebody drove their truck through the ice on a pond the other day. You know, it's just odd.
Well, now I sound like the bad guy. That needs to be the preamble. And then you say, I want a 10-inch snow.
What do you mean?
I also feel weird about how the weather is changing, and it's a little scary.
Yeah.
But
yeah, see, all of you people enjoying this, I'm thinking, no, this is, if you had a lever, you would reset it to being a little colder. Antarctica is about to split in two right now. So,
but when you bluntly state, I want a 10-inch snow right now, and I say no.
Okay, well, understood then, yeah. I guess I should have, I sort of buried my lead there, didn't I?
I'm just getting defensive.
Here's the Mincing Rascals. This is a weekly podcast we record at WGN Radio with Steve Bertrand, of course, from GN, and then from the Tribune. It's always Eric Zorn, the columnist, and usually Scott Stantis, their editorial cartoonist. And Often it is Kristen McQuarrie, one of the editorial writers and a sometimes columnist at the Chicago Tribune. We talk about a bunch of things, and we started on the state scene. I believe Steve Bertrand has the first word as we talk a little bit about Chris Kennedy, who has announced that he wants to be the next governor of Illinois.
Well, we'll have a Pritzker, a Kennedy, and a Madigan. Is that right? I don't know.
I don't think we're going to have a Madigan. No. I think Lisa Madigan is never going to run for governor.
Well, not as long as her dad is speaker and he'll never die. Apparently he can't.
There it is.
Because the undead can't.
Yeah, but what do we know about him, and do we think he's a good candidate?
Well, he's got chops, right? I mean, he ran the University of Illinois for a time. He was at the Merchandise Mart. He's got the Kennedy name, which I would imagine still helps with older Democratic voters. So, and he's the first in. That doesn't hurt either.
And he's rich. I mean, rich enough anyway.
He has a pretty good resume, it looks to me. I mean, in terms of his what he's done with his wealth, and he's got this whole food program where he gives boxes of food to the hungry and so on. He's not that polished a performer. I was watching a video interview of him with Marianne Ahern, and they asked him about Madigan, and he kind of stammered, and I thought, you know what? That question, of all the questions you knew you were going to get, that was one you had to anticipate, and you know, you didn't prepare for that. You got to be a little bit better out of the gate than that. On the other hand, it's so early that he's got plenty of chance. I mean, you look at bad campaign rollouts. Look at the Trump campaign, right? That was a hideous, nightmare car crash.
It was the best.
Although
it was the best.
He did use the best words.
By the same token, he was on WGN Radio as well, and I was struck. I mean, that's an excellent point. You should have a Madigan answer. But I was struck by, I don't know if eloquence is the right word, but he certainly could turn a phrase and convey a concise thought well.
Yes.
We've been lacking that, too.
I'm not at all writing him off.
No.
And I think some of his messaging about Rauner was strong.
Yes.
You look back, there was this business at the convention. Remember, we ran into the elevator and the reporters followed him in. And he goes, leave me alone. You know, just one of those things where I think he's going to find that the campaign trail is pretty rough. You remember Bill Daley announced he was going to run for governor.
Right.
And then after a few months, he went, hey, this sucks. Get out of this. So that could happen with
Chris Kennedy. You have to go to Cairo. No one deserves that.
I wonder what this does to J.B. Pritzker, who's the other ultra wealthy Democrat. Who's been...
I think it killed him, don't you think? I mean, seriously, because I think a Kennedy name, anytime that jumps into...
And they're sort of in this, if you want to lane it, they're kind of in the same lane, right?
Yes.
Wealthy, sort of outside the political mainstream, well-known name.
Are we also entering a new era where people run for the top office state and nationally who have no experience in elected office?
Well, that's
apparently
kind of what
we
I'm
are.
Wondering about. We're kind of doing his resume here, and I guess it's too early to know, but... So what are his tax plans? What does he think about education? How's he going to dig us out of debt? I mean, does he have
He's going to lower our taxes. He's going to educate our children and stop crime.
Fine.
That worked for the White House.
Yeah.
In his defense, though, he did for a time run the University of Illinois system, which, you know, involved education certainly and involved state politics and budgeting and all of that. So he's not a complete novice to that.
Things
didn't go that perfectly well.
It wasn't perfect. No.
Does Kennedy, is that something that someone like me would go, wow, you can't beat a Kennedy? Not going to happen. Does that resonate the same way, a 30
year old? The first two things that jump out at me on his candidacy are very rich and Kennedy. And boy, in Illinois and Chicago, those are two very helpful assets. But maybe we're showing our age here, guys.
I think we might be. Because
but older people tend to vote, too, right? I mean, I don't think it resonates with my sons, the Kennedy name, although it might a little, but not like it does to me, not like it does to my parents.
Yeah, I don't think Chris was not. He was born on the 4th of July, I think, in 1964. So he was born after his famous uncle was assassinated, right? So he after that, after Camelot was
right. There's a romanticism with the name, I think, that it doesn't, as aside from one specific Kennedy.
It's way too early to decide whether he's a bum or not. I mean, I think.
Well, they're all bums. Eventually, we'll come to that conclusion.
But you know, I mean, I would say that, you know, from the little I know of the guy, I think his chances are pretty good at all. Of course, it all depends on what happens in Springfield in the next couple of, months.
It does make me wonder why any of these people who have achieved such success want to be governor or mayor president. I just, you know, do you think the Trumps are having fun right now? Do you think the Rauners are having fun right now?
I think the Trumps are having fun.
I don't.
Do you think they are, really?
No, Eric does not think they're having fun. Eric's having fun, but I don't think the president is. Speaking of Illinois politics, at least two state representatives have proposed that we have a Barack Obama state holiday. It'll be our 13th. It'll be a paid holiday for state workers.
Oh, good Lord.
And it will be celebrated on his birthday, which is in August.
We need a holiday in August.
So what do you guys... Well,
who wants to take a day off in February?
In the, defending it, they said, hey, the kids won't be at school, so that won't be an issue. It's not like the teachers won't have to go to work. They won't be at work anyway. But do you guys like the idea of a state holiday celebrating Barack Obama's birth?
Well, I can tell, by the way, Scott recoiled in his chair that he hates the idea.
Of course.
I will let him speak first, but then and then I will...
Neil, correct him.
Thank you.
No, I'm not correct him. But his reaction was so visible.
It's preposterous, because you don't... it's a ridiculous idea, first of all. Why? Because he was from Illinois. I mean, we have Lincoln's birthday sort of all mashed into President's Day. We don't have Ulysses S. Grant Day. He was ostensibly from Illinois. You know, we don't have
Ronald Reagan Day.
Paul Simon Day. We don't have a Mayor Daley Day.
We don't have Adlai Stevenson Day. I mean, this is ridiculous. No,
California has a Reagan Day, but keep going, Scott.
Dan Rostenkowski Day. Well, what are you guys talking about? He's the President of the United States. Okay, we don't have a Reagan Day. I agree that it should not be a state holiday in terms of like giving workers a day off. I think they ought to have a day on the calendar, like an Arbor Day or whatever, and they should acknowledge the president's birthday at summer camps or whatever's going on.
You know what we should do, though, is do for him what we do for all of our great leaders. We give them the worst spot on a highway system and say, this will be how we remember you. You've got Reagan, and you've got the Jane Byrne.
You've got the Stevenson.
The Strangler out in the western suburbs.
Hillside Strangler.
They could rename that for Obama. No, my proposal was that they should rename Hutchinson Field and Grant Park for Obama. That's where he gave his victory speech.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Who the heck was Hutchinson?
But I agree with Eric. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with the city doing something to commemorate a home run. I mean, first of all, also first African-American president. That's not insignificant.
Sure. Yeah.
And Hutchinson Field's a great idea.
I started to type out all of the things that I thought, well, let's just hit the highlights of this past week in Washington. And I didn't have enough room on the page.
I've been sitting here for 20 minutes with my Ivanka Trump earrings on. Are we going to talk about this?
Okay, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Well, so, you know.
And they really bring out the gold in your eyes.
I wasn't sure which ones to wear. Did I choose the right ones?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. So, you know, Nordstrom announced that it was dropping. And I thought there was another chain, too.
Yeah.
TJ Maxx.
Was it TJ Maxx dropping
her?
Well,
they're going to TJ Maxx and a couple of other stores are going to pull their in-store displays, but they'll continue to merchandise her stuff.
So Donald Trump tweets out against Nordstrom, you know, saying that it was unfair in all of this. And then I guess the POTUS account retweeted his tweet.
Yeah, that's true.
Which makes it even more official. And which begs the question, I would imagine he's probably got money in her company, wouldn't he?
Boy, I hadn't even thought about it that way, Steve.
Okay.
I just think it's his name, it's his daughter, who we all know is his favorite, and he can't tolerate somebody not being good to her.
Well, and so he's using his account to benefit a family member's business. And even more so, Kellyanne Conway on Fox and Friends, I think it was on Thursday morning, said, I'm going to do a commercial for Ivanka. Go out and buy her stuff.
Just, I think people can see through that.
30
go
seconds.
Buy Ivanka's stuff is what I would tell. I hate shopping. I'm going to go get some on myself today.
There is that hashtag buy Ivanka right now.
But I'm going to give a free commercial here. Go buy it today, everybody. You can find it online.
Reading the lawyer's reactions, that's a pretty clear violation of, if not the policies of the executive branch, of laws.
Who knows how this is
now
going to
my
shake
wife
out.
Is going to insist she's got to go to Nordstrom this weekend and do a lot of shopping in order to support Nordstrom. And what can I say?
Poor Nordstrom, right? I mean, there you are just trying to sell jewelry and shoes. You decide to pull the president's daughter's brand because it's not performing that well, and now you're in the middle of a controversy.
Could they not have done this a little more quietly? I mean,
Nordstrom?
Yeah, I mean, why not just, you know, kind of quietly do it, and then if they make a stink of it, say, hey, look, we're just, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it does seem a little political that we would find out about it, that it would be a statement. It's just, you know.
They may well be being hurt by it commercially. They might be suffering for selling
political.
This land.
Right.
But that's
no,
okay
it's not.
It's
economic,
political.
Eric. It's not political.
I
see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, if they're losing business because of it, they're not losing it. They're not pulling her because they don't like her dad's policies. They're doing it because they're losing money. And if saying it publicly helps bring some of those customers who are boycotting them back, That's an economic, that's a business thing.
Sure, Steve, but it may be, so why would Nordstrom do it? Either because she's performing badly on the shelves.
People were saying...
Or maybe it's the same, but having the Trump name in your store is bad for you. For whatever reason, if a business wants to cut ties with you, that's their prerogative.
Right. And, I'm not sure about the crossing a legal line.
It's pretty clear.
Kellyanne Conway has every right to go out and say, I'm going to go buy Ivanka Trump's stuff.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. Not according to what I read. It said that, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it in, but it said, you know, executive branch cannot endorse a company.
That certainly makes sense.
Of family or friends. Yeah. Or Fox and Friends.
That's our Steve Bertrand. You hear him, of course, during the week on WGN Radio. I'm John Williams. Also in that Mincing Rascals broadcast of the podcast. It's a full podcast. You can hear wherever you subscribe to your finer podcast. Download it there. You can also get it at WGNRadio.com and WGNPlus.com. Steve Bertrand, Scott Stantis from the Chicago Tribune, their editorial cartoonist, and, of course, Eric Zorn. By the way, what does the movie Arrival have to do with Shinzo Abe's interpreter? Did you hear that yesterday? A note about that in a minute. This is WGN. 10:51 on WGN. This is John Williams. Some of you have called in, too. I guess they said something on the Mincing Rascals you want to comment on. Is that right, Griff? We'll take a couple calls here first. But I do want to play the Shinzo Abe interpreter audio because I just found it fascinating. But let's pick up a couple of lines, 312-981-7200. All right, Griff, who goes first? Give me a name here. Jeremy, you're on the air. You're on WGN.
Hi. I just had to call in. I don't think I've ever called into WGN before, but I listen to you guys almost daily, and I just had to call in about the Barack Obama Day topic.
Yeah,
I was really sort of incensed by the fact that it took almost 5 minutes into the conversation to even mention the fact that the reason that Barack Obama Day would be important is because he is the first African American president. I mean, there's nothing more historic than that, especially to the African-American community in Chicago. Yeah. And I feel like it was somewhat insensitive that was kind of glossed over. And It was like a footnote at the very end of the conversation. That should have been the number one and only important. He was a state senator that served with distinction. He served two terms in office with distinction and was the first African-American president. And I don't think you need anything else, any other argument, to say that a Barack Obama Day of some sort or another would be extremely important in the state of Illinois.
Let me ask you this, and then I'll let you go. I'm glad you called in. But so there's two ways to do it. One is, I think the reason that it gets pushback is because it would be a paid holiday. It would be an official state holiday. State workers wouldn't open. I don't know what offices would be closed, but you know how that goes. And then the other way to do it is just to make it a day of note, and we have a bunch of those. So should it be granted the full state holiday, or should it just be Barack Obama Day, sort of like a proclamation, but nothing changes? And I think he's gone now, too, which is that's and I appreciate the call. I'm glad that Steve Bertrand finally chimed in on that, because that's what we were focusing on was, well, shoot, do we really need another paid holiday in Illinois of all places? That's the problem. Hey, you've got no more Barack Obama fans in the world than you do here. So I appreciate your thought on that. Griff, where do we go next? Got another call for me or not? One sec. Okay. Well, we can let's play the Shinzo Abe, Shinzo Abe audio if we can. This was yesterday, and it was the sort of joint press conference that the Prime Minister of Japan held with the President of the United States. And they both read pretty lengthy statements about how they're going to be good allies, work together, and try and bring unity and all of the sorts of things that you normally don't hear on radio or TV. But since the world is changing so fast, a lot of this is actually suddenly very interesting. What are they going to say? What are we going to say? Well, as it turns out, Donald Trump doesn't speak Japanese, and the Prime Minister of Japan does not speak English. So they have to use an interpreter. So the woman that was doing the interpreting did fine, but she didn't do great. For instance, towards the end of the conversation, the press conference, the Prime Minister of Japan wanted to say that he's looking forward to going golfing with Donald Trump. This is her interpreting him.
I'm looking forward for a weekend in Florida with Donald. We will play golf together. My scores in golf is not up to the level of Donald at all. But my policy is never up, never in, always aiming for the cup, never to go with the shortcuts and short the chops. But in a relaxed atmosphere, I hope to take time to discuss with Donald on the future of the world.
That's not a bit. That's actually what happened. And it was like that the whole time. So you get the gist of it. And she did a pretty good job of interpreting him, but not great, right? And I know there's some vernaculars in golf. It has its own kind of language. And so it's hard to sort of translate some of the slangs and sayings from one language to another. But at other times, she'd slip up here and there. It wasn't perfect English. And if ever you need perfect English, it's when you are trying to negotiate treaties, where sometimes a single word, a phrase, what do you mean by that? You know, you'd think that they would have somebody who was the best interpreter ever, and they didn't. And so I was really surprised at how broken the English was at this really critical juncture. And Griff, you remember the movie Arrival, right? With Amy Adams?
Yeah.
Do you remember the word that in the movie Arrival, a bunch of aliens come to Earth. We don't know if they're hostile or friendly, and we're learning a language. That's the point of the movie Arrival. We have to find a common language. And so finally they have this little vocabulary. Do you remember the one key word in that movie?
Was it weapon?
Almost. I believe the word was tool.
And tool.
We didn't know if that meant weapon or gift. And so when the aliens sort of put out this image and we interpret it to that's their word for tool, but in its application, it could be hostile or it could have been friendly. And it was like super critical. What are we going to do here about that word they used?
Yeah, and different countries were translating it differently. So everybody had derived a different meaning from it.
I don't know why I thought of that when I was listening to this press conference, but I thought these guys are going to get in a room, they're going to have a working lunch, and this lady is going to try and say very delicate things about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, right? Or about the South China Sea.
Right, when they're not talking about golf anymore.
Yes, when they're not talking about golf. And don't you suppose that the literal exact words she uses will be really important? And I'm not real confident that she's going to get them all right, coming or going. So that's, you know, don't you think it's challenging enough for those of us who have a common language to negotiate things? Imagine sort of bridging that divide and getting it exactly right. That was what I was thinking of. It's 10:50, almost 8. Okay, let's pause here. Veronica will, in very good English, give you the news. And then we want to play a couple of clips from Saturday Night Live and ask the $64 question of the weekend. Next on WGN. Thank you, Veronica. This is John Williams. Veronica, when you're not baking bread, do you watch Saturday Night Live this season?
I do. I kind of got out of the habit. I used to like base my weekend around when I got to see it. And now I kind of hit and miss it. Unfortunately, now you can just watch it on YouTube or on Facebook, you know, after people post all the highlights. So I do that a lot, too.
Yeah, now that you mention it, because my first answer was, yeah, I watch Saturday Night Live now. But I don't think I watch it on Saturday nights at 10:30 anymore.
No.
In fact, I don't always watch the whole episode anyway. I'll as often just watch the cold open, see how that goes. That's what everybody's going to be talking about. They even play the Saturday Night Live bits then on the Sunday morning talk shows or on the Monday morning talk shows on network TV. I mean, it really has a place in our conscience right now.
It's so popular, but is it hurting, you know, the network for us not to be watching the entire show? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe so. I guess they'll take our viewership any way they can get it. Even this conversation you and I are having now, I guess in the long run, that's all good for NBC. They'd probably prefer we sit there at 10:30 and watch all the commercials, too. But I don't think we do that. Time magazine says this week, in just a few short weeks, Saturday Night Live has become perhaps the single most vital show on TV. After a rocky start to its 42nd season, every new episode feels like an urgent must-watch. And the reason, of course, is because I think of Alec Baldwin. When I think of Saturday Night Live these days, the cold opens, as often as they can, have included him doing his Donald Trump, and usually they start something like this.
Hello, thank you for coming. I'd like to start by answering the question that's on everyone's mind. Yes, this is real life. This is really happening.
So you get the idea. And he's just killing it. He is really good at that. I know that half of the people listening to my voice right now love it, love it, love it. And the other half probably doesn't. Although I'm not sure. If you are a fan of Donald Trump, if you're really rooting for and supporting this administration, do you watch Saturday Night Live? Do you find the humor in that? Or is it just ticking you off? I don't know the answer to that question. But they also had last week Melissa McCarthy making an appearance as White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer.
We'll do a couple questions. Go. Glenn Thrush, New York Times. Boo! Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the travel ban on Muslims.
Yeah, it's not a ban.
I'm sorry?
It's not a ban. The travel ban is not a ban, which makes it not a ban.
But you just called it a ban.
Because I'm using your words. You said ban. You said ban. Now I'm saying
the president tweeted, and I quote, yeah. If the ban were announced with a 1 week notice.
Yeah, exactly. You just said that. He's quoting you. It's your words. He's using your words. When you use the words and he uses them back, it's circular using of the word, and that's from you. Seriously, Glenn?
Unfortunately, that is almost exactly how it went. Time magazine said McCarthy is the world's greatest living physical comic. And that is true. The way she picked up the podium and went after them in the press corps, the use of the super soaker. Members of Sean Spicer's staff this week actually gave him a bunch of super soakers because of that skit. And then Kate McKinnon, of course, previously played Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's also done Kellyanne Conway, but I think she was her best at, and maybe she'll bring her back when she was Hillary Clinton.
Tonight, I'm speaking to you not as Secretary of State or as a senator or as a First Lady, but as a relatable woman on a couch. Hello! Recently, it was revealed that while I was Secretary of State, I did not use a government email. Please. I wasn't born yesterday. I was born 67 years ago, and I have been planning on being president ever since. There will be no mistakes in my rise to the top.
Pretty good. Pretty good. So now the buzz, of course, is that Rosie O'Donnell has changed her Twitter profile pic to that of Steve Bannon. She literally, or somebody did for her. It's really compelling. It's believable, right? They superimposed, they photoshopped her face onto his head. But a lot of people think that that's actually her with just such good makeup and his clothes that that's her impersonating him. It was just a Photoshop job. Unfortunately for Rosie, she can pull it off, but it's really funny. And a lot of people are thinking this is because Rosie is auditioning in a way. She's asking Saturday Night Live to let her do Steve Bannon. And folks are wondering if she's going to appear in that capacity tonight. SNL says that won't happen. Won't happen yet. I'm wondering what you think. Would you like to see Rosie O'Donnell join the cast as a recurring character on Saturday Night Live as Steve Bannon? I say no. I say no. Saturday Night Live's job is to not even the score. It's not to be mean. It's just to be funny. And they've got enough right there to be as funny and topical as they need to be. With Rosie, it's piling on. And so I'm going to vote no. How about you, Griff? SNL? Rosie O'Donnell? You want her on as Steve Bannon?
I don't know. I get the initial reaction from a lot of people, which was like, oh, of course, how could you resist or something? And then that photo, I don't know if you mentioned it. I was on the phone. But
oh, yeah. It looks like Steve Bannon.
Yeah. And it's her Twitter profile picture yeah. now. And it's yeah. just pretty funny. So I understand that initial reaction. But I'd also say no, probably for different reasons than you. But
well, what's yours?
I don't know. I don't know. It just seems a little too obvious. Maybe there's a better way to go. Like, Melissa McCarthy was so great, but no one expected it to be Melissa McCarthy. That's part of why it was so exciting she came out.
Yeah, right. But also, Sean Spicer also has a high profile. Steve Bannon, we don't really know what he sounds like. We don't know what he looks like. I mean, we know what it looks like, but right? You know what Donald Trump sounds and acts like. Hillary Clinton, Kellyanne Conway, Sean Spicer. Those are the people that have been speaking on behalf of the administration. we really don't know what it's like with Steve Bannon. They do sometimes portray him as a sort of Darth Vader, Grim Reaper character. I actually don't think that one works as well. I think they can do fine without it. But I'm interested in your take on this. You can text or call 312-981-7200. I'm looking for a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Back to the Time magazine piece. This Saturday, Baldwin, currently the resident impersonator of President Donald Trump, will host, presumably, it will be more than usual, more of the usual, political humor at the president's expense. This, like many recent decisions, seems carefully calibrated to needle the chief executive. Last week's masterful sketch in which Melissa McCarthy disassembled White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer suggested Trump was watching and made a series of delicately chosen decisions. You know, it's funny because the president, you get the feeling, is watching. They later in the article say that the Democrats don't get made fun of as much on Saturday Night Live. My reaction to that is just because everybody on Saturday Night Live is a Democrat. But Time magazine suggests the reason they don't get made fun of as much is because they're not interesting, they're not important, they're not in play. I wonder if they'll do an Elizabeth Warren sketch, but people will be wondering how they portray it all tonight. So your answers to my question, you want Rosie there or not, thumbs up or thumbs down? We'll pick up the phones next on WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Start planning this year's family adventure at the 49th Annual Chicago RV and Camping Show, beginning Thursday, February 16th through Sunday, February 19th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. The Chicago RV Show features new 2017 models with exceptional show pricing. For serious savings on the best brands, come on out to the RV and Camping Show, February 16th through the 19th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. For more information and discount admission coupons, visit us on the web at chicagorvshow.com.
Everyone can celebrate together with Sweet Alley's gluten-free baked goods. Sweet Alley's offers a variety of sweet, savory, and special occasion baked goods, including dairy-free and vegan. Looking for sweet treats for your Valentine? Sweet Alley's has kissing cakes, Rice Krispie Heart Pops, red velvet cupcakes, sugar cookies, plus fresh creative ideas for using their products and mixes. Offering over 100 products, Sweet Alley's bakeries are located in Hinsdale and Glenview. Enjoy a taste of the passion behind and the quality within. Go to sweetalleys.com to learn more.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm an elk, and I live in a suburb called, get this, Elk Grove Village. But my main stomping grounds are a grove and Bussy Woods. You've driven down Arlington Heights Road approximately 7 million times and never once caught a glimpse of me in my little elk enclosure. But today is different. I've decided to prance around this field in clear view and just graze. And while you're gazing at my 2 tons of elkness, you completely missed a guy in front of you gawking at my awesome antlers. Guess you can both get a good look now. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, you could be racking up some serious repair bills. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem. Like me.
Right now, save even more when you go paperless. Call one of 405 Chicagoland Allstate agents today and ask about the eSmart discount. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected. Savings vary.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-600-0738. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-600-0738. That's 1-800-600-0738. 1-800-600-0738.
It's 11:18 on WGN. This is John Williams. In the next half hour, The Bright Side returns. I don't know if you've heard that segment. We used to do it on Friday afternoons at 5:30. And I'm not sure if it's going to fly on a Saturday around 2. But let's do it a little after 1:30. The bright side. I'll explain it. And if you remember that bit, I know you'll love it. So be there for the bright side. John Williams on WGN. This is my Saturday shift. And maybe you haven't heard, but I'll be returning to GN Radio Monday through Fridays. This is in March, March 13th, from 1 to 3. Let's pick up a couple of phone lines. We'll start with Joy. Joy, you're on GN. What can I do for you?
Hi, guys. I haven't watched SNL in years, but if you think of the names Lorraine, Jane, Gilda, Dan, any of those names, you think of funny. And that's when SNL used to be really funny. At this point, I think of when you're calling somebody, whether it's calling Hillary a horse face or whether you're calling Donald Trump little hands, it's hypocritical. It's not so much who you're for or against politically. I don't find it funny that you're telling kids not to bully people based on their looks or their race or this or that. But the biggest ha-ha you can get on SNL now is making fun of little hands that you can't change, or even if it's just a haircut. You know, okay, then it's okay to make fun of that kid in school that's got the haircut that you don't like, you know. And one last thing, I hear adults who are maybe 40, 50 pounds overweight making fun of, say, Donald Trump's hair. And it's like, really? You know, let's all work on our own little world here before we start, you know. And especially if you're going to tell people not to bully, why is that so funny? So, and I think Rosie is just seemingly a mean-spirited person. And I like what you said about it's not an arena for payback. It never was back in the day. It was humor. So, you know, there's a way of pointing out something without, you know, being hateful towards them. So regardless if it's Trump or anybody else. So that's all.
Thanks, Joy. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Cheryl next. You're on WGN. You want to see Rosie O'Donnell as Steve Bannon?
Yeah, you know, actually, welcome back to Chicago, King John. Totally to go against what your previous caller said, Donald Trump has created a culture of judgment and hatred and pointing out flaws of other people. And I know we're not supposed to be immature, but he's created this culture. And he's so immature that we know he cannot take any sort of good-natured ribbing or comedy. So I say pile it on, because I've also seen pictures of Christine Baranski playing. She could be a dead ringer for DeVos. So they actually had an article on CNN this morning, I saw it on Facebook. They went through every person in the administration, and they've already found, like, someone that could be kind of a doppelganger for that person. I say as many as we can get, just go for it.
And they did that on CNN? You saw them sort of, yes. Who would play who?
Yes. Yeah, and I don't remember them all right now, but I know Christine Baranski.
Yeah, boy, she would be a dead ringer for that, yeah.
Yeah. And I say, you know what, it's already such a tragic farce of a presidency. Like, anything we can all do to keep sane is going to be helpful. And a little humor, a little poking fun at someone on a Saturday night at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, I don't see any harm in it.
That's Cheryl. Thanks for the call, Cheryl. Let's go from Cheryl, 312-981-7200. Joe, we're wondering if you like the idea of Rosie O'Donnell joining the cast of SNL as Steve Bannon. What do you say, Joe? You're on the air.
I don't really like that idea. But the earlier caller who said about Saturday Night Live and the beginning being so much funnier, I just think that they get so romanticized that it was perfect then. She said they weren't mean. It was either the first or second season. Chevy Chase would play Gerald Ford, and all he would do is fall down. And it was really funny.
It was. It was. It was a different kind of funny, though, wasn't it? Because, you know, Gerald Ford just didn't say – you got to admit that – Donald Trump is such a different creature than Gerald Ford that the humor that makes fun of them would be different. Gerald Ford was forgetful and stumbling, hence Chevy Chase's impersonation of him. It wasn't as mean, but Donald Trump has been such a strident character that it almost has to be if you're going to make fun of him.
Right, and I think that Trump and his whole staff kind of fall into the Palin thing. You don't have to make anything up. You can say what they actually said, and it's pretty hilarious.
Well, that's the you know, the first time they did it, remember the very first Sean Spicer press conference? It was on the weekend after the inauguration when we were all arguing about the size of the crowd. God, that seems like forever ago. It was 3 weeks ago. But when Saturday Night Live parodied that, it was pretty much almost question-by-question representation of what actually happened. It was so weird, you know, that they
right.
the skits being written for them, they just make it a little funnier.
Agreed.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
Thank you. Bye, John.
Yep, 312-981-7200. I'm voting for no, but I'm wondering what you think about that idea. Sean Spicer, the rumor is today's job may actually be in jeopardy. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but there's some mumblings about that on the interwebs today. And he has the most unenviable job in the world. I almost feel sorry for him. I really do. Because he gets trotted out there to sometimes defend things that must be really difficult to defend. Like, you know, Ivanka's jewelry and the president using his Twitter account, both his personal one and his professional one, to take on Nordstrom. Do you want to go out and defend that? And Sean Spicer has to. Who's next, Griff? Did you say John, you're on WGN. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Good morning. I say absolutely let her do her best. My only concern is he may be one of even thinner skin than Donald is. And if he becomes upset, what exactly will he be whispering in Donald's ear should be retribution for such a heinous act of calling them out for being who and what they are?
Oh, really? Don't play with fire? Is that your advice to us here?
Well, you have to wonder. No, but in all sincerity, absolutely. And I agree with callers who have mentioned this is a bit of keeping sane, or at least a bit of gallows humor.
Yeah.
These are extraordinary, unprecedented, and just baffling times. Truth has become a political football. That one, in and of itself, should just be, that should be it. That's it.
What an interesting call. Glad you joined us. Thank you, John. We're going to go from you to Lee. You're next on WGN. Hi, Lee. You're on the air. Hey, Lee. Breaker 19. Hey, Lee, are you there? Sounds like Lee hears us in the background. Lee, you coming around? Come on around, Lee. In 3, 2, 1. Okay, we'll put Lee on hold and maybe come back to him in a little bit. It's 11:27. We'll pause here, update you on the news. After the news, our Vibe Score segment, and we bring back the bright side. Wait till you hear this on WGN.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. Last night you were in my room. And now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day
John Williams on WGN Radio, and this is our Vibe Score segment. We always start with the song, listen to it. There's a reason we're normally hearing it, and then we score it. All right, Griffin Filipich is our producer of this segment. Why are we starting off with that one? What was that, Griff?
It's Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. It is the number one song on Billboard's Hot 100 right
That's
now.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, okay.
He's a very talented young man.
He really is. Is it? And was that just a little too predictable, a little too produced for you, Griff? Is that the problem?
No, I would never say that. I've never been the biggest Ed Sheeran fan, but this is, it's not, I like it fine. I'd give it like a 60. I don't know.
My gut reaction was, a scale of 1 to 100, 85.
I'm guessing that's the first time you've heard it, though.
Yeah, but that's fair enough.
No, that's totally fine. It's just funny, because this is the tact I've taken with picking some of these songs lately. Like, last week we did Bad and Bougie by Migos. That was the number one song then. He's now dethroned them. But it's like, how can this song be number one and you've never heard it? This was just when I looked it up, I was like, oh, I need to listen to this song now because I haven't heard it. But I don't know.
You're wondering, how is it that I could be in such a hole that I was unfamiliar with some of that stuff?
And me too. I think, I don't know what's going on.
Well, they didn't play it on CNN. This is why you're such a service to us, Griff. We need to get out. Ed Sheeran has the number one song on the Hot 100.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, if you go to VibeScore, that is, if you download the app VibeScore, two words, VibeScore, no, one word, get that rainbow colored V there. And we'll feed you stories that are of interest to you, and we ask you to score them at the end of each post. That's in the music category. What else you got?
So, Veronica, you're a Ed Sheeran fan.
Oh, yeah. What do you say, Veronica? 1 to 100. You like that song?
I think we lost her.
I'm sorry. I was talking to Bob about the temperature. Sorry.
No.
What did you think of the Ed Sheeran song, 1 to 100?
I'm going to say, for now, I'm going to give it about a 70. Probably after I hear it about 9 million more times, it's going to drop down to about a 10.
We'll go down even lower than that, right? Okay, Griff, what's next?
Well, we could do like a Super Bowl was ages
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, it was last weekend.
But we haven't had a show since. And
no.
Just run down a few things that were big from it. Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. I see it's getting an 89, which I think is generous. I gave it about an 80.
Okay.
Everybody was just gaga about it. And it was a fine show, but I for some reason, and I'm a Lady Gaga fan these days, but I wasn't as sort of bowled over as everybody else was.
She's very talented, but she just basically did little clips of lots of her songs, which lots of other artists have done too.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah, it was like it was a swell Lady Gaga show. It was singing and dancing and a little acrobatics, but whatever. It was nonplussed.
She wasn't wearing a meat suit.
No, I don't want. I did not like that version of Lady Gaga. I like the 30-year-old mature Gaga. That's for sure.
So you wanted their Super Bowl extravaganza would be like two duets with Tony Bennett. And then like, thank you. That sounds. I mean, loved. And Tony Bennett introduced her, which was kind of funny. But no, I thought it was really fun. I think it's so funny how your reaction depends on the reactions of the people around you. Because I heard a lot of tepid, like, yeah, it was pretty good. But I was like, wait, no, that was great. Because she jumped off the thing. I thought it was fun. I don't know. I thought it was fun. Whatever.
Did Michael Jackson do a stunt like that one year, too, on the Super Bowl on a halftime show? I think I came by that opinion honestly, Griffin. I think that's my own view.
No. I think my opinion is also, it doesn't matter. The Lumber 84 ad that ran, we also were asking people about, that it featured a mother and her child immigrating to America and then being confronted with a wall. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I clicked through, right.
I did not click through.
Well, that's it. They click through, there's a wall, but then somebody's built a door for them. They go through the door and they come into America. And the point of the Lumber 84 Lumber ad was...
What? I think there's no real answer, like end of that sentence.
There is, but I don't think it's going to satisfy you.
Okay.
So the commercial for me got an 85. I thought it was pretty dang good.
I thought they're like dealing with a very political, hot political topic right now, and they fantastically found a way to say nothing. It was like...
I was amazed that they dove into that. I couldn't believe that
they
wanted to borrow
though.
That. What do you mean? It was a Mexican couple that confronted by the wall we're building on the border. And then they go through the wall, and the message from the company was, we support people who work hard to get it done, or something like that.
Oh, it was so vague. No, I did not like that's
that
what made it
worse.
No, because they really took the idea. I think if you're going to do a political ad, it's like, okay, that's a risk, but you better just go for it.
Right, deliver, and instead...
I think they were really like, look, the wall's coming, but don't worry, there's going to be a door. Like, so we like the wall, but also we like letting people in. So, Lumber 84. It kind of drove me crazy.
What else you got for us, Griff?
Well, it was the first Super Bowl to go to overtime, thanks to a fun fact from you. I was
aware
of that in the moment.
I was all about that.
And the NFL overtime rules, as we all know now, are if you score a TD in overtime on the first possession, you win. The other team does not get a possession. Do you like that rule? Is it the best way around?
Yeah. What is that getting, by the way? I'll bet that's getting a low score. I do not like that rule.
How would you do it?
I don't know. That's their problem to figure out. But I think I would, if for instance, I score a touchdown in the first possession, I would let you then have the ball, and maybe you score a touchdown. Now it's a tie score. And then, I don't know, then the next score wins, or frankly, you could just play it by the clock. Go ahead and put 5 minutes on the clock like they do in basketball or something. I mean, that's not my job. All I'm saying is I think it's insane that the national championship football game, this billion-dollar industry, was determined by a coin flip, that the other team didn't get a chance to touch the ball. Final answer.
I don't know. It's getting a 37.
Thank you. That's the appropriate score. Low on the overtime rule.
Yeah.
What else you got for us?
In movies, Fifty Shades Darker is coming.
Oh, I can't wait to see this.
Are you going to go?
I went and saw 50 Shades of Grey.
And what did you think of that?
It was terrible.
So,
it was so bad.
So why are you excited to see this one?
I understand that people are laughing out loud at this movie, that it's really pretty... Actually, I've heard that this is a little bit better than the last one, but it's still a pretty bad franchise, isn't it?
I think the first one was not good. No, I didn't like it either. But I didn't get any joy out of it, like, oh, it's so bad, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
I really was not on that level. It was just like, this is just disconcerting, and I don't need to... I don't know.
The night the movie opened up, I wanted to be able to talk about it the next day. I had zero interest in seeing it. My wife, Brenda, would not even go with me to see this thing. So here I am, this like 55-year-old guy, and I go to the, you know, 18 Cineplex at 10:30 at night. I should have got a trench coat, you know, just to make myself look more
horrifying.
And the place is packed with women. I'm the only guy in there sitting by myself with an overcoat. Watching 50 Shades of Grey. I didn't feel conspicuous at all.
It's not a good look. I love the idea of you like going out to see 50 Shades Darker. Just like, it starts in 10 minutes, but I can't find my duster. I can't see this movie without my duster.
How can I have the look?
Yikes.
We'll see. We'll see what that one gets. Any others that we should do before we wrap this up, Griff?
Yeah, I think we're good.
We also asked you about the cover of Vogue, and we just put this one up. It doesn't have any, and that's getting 20, by the way. The people are not loving the cover of Vogue. And Barack Obama Day in Illinois, do you like that idea? Should we have one, yes or no? If you love the idea, give it 100. If you don't, give it 0. And we just put that one up, so no scores in on that yet. But if you get the Vibe Score app, you can read about it and vote. You can give us your vibe. All right, there's kind of a quick rundown of where we are in the world. A bunch of Saturday Night Live posts are up there as well, and you can read about and follow and comment along, too, on VibeScore. The Bright Side of Life. Okay, so let me set it up, and then we'll go to commercial break and come back with that song, and maybe you'll play along. I hope you do. I'm worried this is going to be a bust. I always worry this is going to be a bust, because here's the way The Bright Side works. We'll play a happy little song, and all we ask is for you to call in and tell us something briefly that's making you happy. It could be that you are going out to eat with your friends tonight and have some drinks. Hooray! Sometimes it's something as simple as that. But if your kid just got back from Afghanistan, then I'm happy for you too. You beat cancer. You are having a birthday. I don't know what it is. But if you don't have something top of mind that you're smiling about, then that's your job. We need to think and work about that. So tell me what's making you happy. What's your bright side? I want you to call right now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's share our bright sides next on WGN. Okay, this is the bright side.
Some things in life are bad.
Play this song.
They can really make you mad.
You call in.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Tell us something good in your world.
When you're chewing on life's gristle. Grumble, give a whistle.
Get ready to whistle.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing it home now.
And always look on the bright side of life.
Whistle. Okay, let's try this today. I'm not sure if this is a Saturday bit or not. Lou Manfredini always says, John, you got to do your bright side. Do the bright side. I love the bright side. I do too. So here's what we do. We ask you to call in, 312-981-7200. Tell me something good in your world, something that's making you smile. Griff and Bob Kessler in the newsroom, I'm calling on you guys in a second. Oh, let's go with you. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing good, John.
What's something that's making you smile? What's a bright side for you?
It's kind of hard to pick out just one, John. It really is. But I'll say, you know, I was sick for like 3 weeks. I had a bad cold.
And oh, no.
Now I'm better from it, so now I can learn to do a backflip, which was my New Year's resolution.
My bright side, Butler basketball this afternoon. I look forward to it every weekend. It fills me with dread and joy. I can't wait for my Butler basketball game. It's making me smile. Let's pick up some phone lines. We'll start with Pat. Hey, Pat, you're on WGN. Hey. What's your bright side?
Well, John, the fact that you're back is a bright side.
Oh, that's
even
nice
though I love Judy and Kathy. But in 2001, we brought it home. I had cancer. We battled it together. I'd call in when I had victories. And I'm doing it again, and I'm going to call you every time I have a victory.
I love calls. I get a lot of these, and I hear from them for years and years. You call me again, Pat.
Well, you know what? Like I said, I have cancer again, and I'm doing it again. So we're going to bring it home again.
That's the thing. I always look
I have people who, when I have done the Bright Side over the years, call me every year on the anniversary of their sobriety, every year on the anniversary of them beating cancer. It's a milestone. I'm glad that you're there. Hey, Sue, you're on WGN. What's your Bright Side?
Hi, and welcome back, King John.
Thank you.
I'm going to really go out here and put a positive spin on things with our president in office that I have to thank him because he's helping to be more, he is helping me to be more involved and reinvent myself in life and to be much more proactive than reactive.
I'm glad you called, Sue. There's only one rule on the Bright Side, by the way. And Bob, Griff, you guys need to, if we're going to do this, we need to know the one rule of the Bright Side. Griffin, do you know what the one rule of the Bright Side is? I don't know.
What is it?
There's only one rule. We don't judge other people's happiness. So whatever it is that's making you smile gets to make you smile. Sylvia, you're on the Bright Side. What's your good news, Sylvia? Why are you smiling?
I'm going to spend my birthday with my first grandchild. My daughter is flying from Seattle to Chicago this February 15, and I'm so happy.
From Sylvia, let's go to Bob. I think Bob is next. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. What's your Bright Side? Okay, pardon me. It's not going to be Bob. It's going to be Greg. Okay. Hey, Greg, you're on the air. What's your Bright Side?
Hey, John, after so many years at strikes and working with your son as well, my son, I thought, was over with baseball after high school. Well, he decided to go try out and made the college team in his junior year. Not pitching in 4 years, and he's going to start pitching again.
Oh, God, wow. Huh? Oh, God, I miss that.
I do, too.
Well, that'll make Steve Hayward happy.
Yeah, and good luck to him. He's having getting a new hip in March, so good luck to Steve out there.
Wow. What a nice call. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right, my friend. Good to hear you.
All right, Mary, you're up. You're on WGN. What's your Bright Side? Why are you smiling this afternoon?
Hi there, John. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm smiling because I've been newly retired, and I'm truly loving it. Look
on the bright side. I want to be Mary someday. Thank you, Mary. Let's go to Liz. You're on WGN. What's your Bright Side, Liz? Why are you smiling?
Today's my 80th birthday, John.
Wow, you sound great. I want to sound like you tomorrow.
And I will be eating at Maggiano's in Milwaukee with my children tonight.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you now. Give the audience. Okay, Griff, so you say Aaron is next. We'll take Aaron. I think we're going to take Aaron. Aaron, are you there?
Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, Aaron, you're on WGN. What's your Bright Side?
Well, my wife and I have been trying to have a child for about 3 years now. She had some pretty severe health issues, and they told her that she would not be able to conceive. And we just found out yesterday we are expecting our first child.
Oh, man. Oh, man. What's the day? Do you know?
Not sure yet. Don't know.
Yeah. I got goosebumps for you, my friend. Oh, Aaron, our best to you. Stay in touch, okay? Call us down the road. Keep us posted, okay?
I will do that. Thank you so much. Always look on the
bright side of life. Let's go to Ray. We got time for just a couple more here. Hey, Ray, you're on WGN. What's your Bright Side?
My son Dan Chagrou, Nick DiGiulio's producer, and his lovely wife Eileen are expecting their second baby in May.
Oh, no kidding. I know him. I didn't know that. Wow. They're okay with you breaking the news on the radio, or have we already heard that, Ray?
I think they've already let people know. I hope so, at least.
Well, I'm really happy for them. I'll pass that along. Thanks for the call.
Welcome back, John.
Let's go to Dennis. You're on WGN. What's your Bright Side, Dennis? You're on the air.
Well, welcome back, King John.
Hey, thank you, sir.
My wife, Judy, just had 95% of her stomach removed, and she's cancer-free, no chemo, and no radiation.
Let's go to Florida now. Congrats, Dennis. Thanks for the call. Hey, Dave, you're on the air. Why are you smiling?
Good morning. I'm smiling. We were listening for the heck of it. I turned on Lou Manfredini this morning, and at 9:58, he said, you're going to be on and back in Chicago, and my wife, Gail, and I are extremely happy to be able to sit down here and listen to you on the radio again. We really appreciate it.
What a nice call. We miss Kathy and Judy, that's for sure. How's things in Florida? What's the weather like?
Yeah, beautiful. 79 degrees, bright sunny day, just gorgeous.
I'm glad you included us in your day. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
On a word, you must always face the curtain with a bang.
So let's do this on Saturday, shall we, in the last little segment of our 10 to noon get together. It's called The Bright Side, and we'll do it again. We'll catch you up on WGN Radio News. That's next.